Welcome back to the Discovering Forestry podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Corey Lofi, alongside our friend, Mr. Arbor Joe Aitken, here for another compelling conversation about trees. Joe, things are good. Life is good. Trees are good. How are you? How is Joe?
Joe's good. You know, listen, how does it get any better, Corey? You know, it's funny you say trees are good. I think this season, trees are good for the environment, but trees themselves aren't good. There's a lot of problems with trees this year. It's an interesting year. And I know, well, at the end of this quarter, when we start wrapping up and the trees start to lose leaves, maybe we can shine some light on the environmental impacts and why plant health care is so important when we look about trees. Because it's kind of a catch 22. You say trees are good. Yeah, trees are good, but not when they're not doing good. How's that?
Touche. And it's going to be different. We have listeners all over the world and all over the country. And we've had record amounts of precip with record warm temps in the West, the mountain states. So, and I know you had a wet spring and it's and interesting.
It's soaking wet. And
yeah.
It's really weird, but it was kind of like what one of our previous guests, Francesco, when we were talking about a lot of these issues are a global issue. So when we start looking at global issues, there's probably one organization that is kind of global. And hence the reason why we're going to bring on today's guest, because we're inching closer and closer and closer to probably, and I'll let our guest correct me if I'm wrong, the largest tree care expo industry tree care show in the world.
Boom.
So without further ado, we got a great guest on, Mr. David White, who is the new, I don't know how new, but it's been a couple of years now, but he is the president and CEO of TCIA. Dave, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me. Yeah, I think 5 years, we can't say new anymore, but I feel like I get a pass for COVID years, so we'll say new-ish.
That's a great point. That's a new-ish because it was 2018, I believe.
That's correct. That's exactly
so you're
correct.
You're talking five-ish years. Two of them were shut down.
Yeah.
All right.
But I appreciate your point. I can't tell you how excited I am. You know, Labor Day is obviously the sort of traditional end of summer for most folks. But for us, it's also the start of expo season. And I'm glad you mentioned that. I mean, TCI Expo this year in St. Louis, I think is going to be something truly amazing. The ability to do demos that we would ordinarily have to do outside, being able to take advantage of the dome that they have attached to their conference center and be able to do demos without having to worry about what's going on with the weather, which, as we all know, to your previous point, is getting more and more unpredictable. I think we're going to have some really unique experiences for folks when they come out to St. Louis this year. So I am very excited about that.
I'm thinking about, you said the dome. I'm thinking, what movie was that? The Thunderdome.
Oh, yeah.
What was that? Mel Gibson. It was
Mad Max, Beyond Thunderdome.
Tina Turner. Yeah, Tina Turner.
I was thinking Geodome. Didn't you? You remember Geodome. Biodome, that's it.
Biodome. Yeah.
Another good, well, again, it's in a dome. It's another flick. But maybe, you know, as we get further into our discussion, David, maybe that is part of one of the future TCIA or TCI Expos is a biodome.
Yeah.
Based on all things plant health and in homeostasis. Is that what they're trying to get to inside the dome? Maybe we have to do that at one of the future expos. But
as long as you don't lock me in there with Pauly Shore, it'll be fine.
Oh, jeez. I think you're both nuts. It was in that movie. So I think I want to just kind of, you know, get the discussion going on here. Now, first off, did you come from the tree industry to TCIA or were you?
No. So my background is actually in association management. So This is the TCIA is the third trade association I've worked for. The second one I've led as CEO. So I have worked for municipal electric utilities in New England. I know some parts of the country are more familiar with that model than other, but like the town actually owns the electric company. And then before that, I worked for the professional society for dentists in the state of Massachusetts. And what's the commonality between all three of them is what I'm passionate about. And what sort of gets me up in the morning to come to work is working with folks who are out there, you know, in the business space. How do we help support them? Whether it's training for employees, whether it's helping them improve their bottom line, whether it's representing them in the halls of Congress or, you know, before the regulatory boards and things like that. How do we help you do what you're doing better? You know, the fact that TCIA's mission is advancing tree care businesses is something that's always top of mind for me. You are all out there doing, you know, for lack of a better way of putting it, you're all out there doing God's work, right? You're taking care of trees, you're providing employment and benefits to people, you're protecting our environment. And so for me and my team to come in every day and feel like we're doing something to help support you in doing that work is what really drives all of us.
I think I think what was interesting is that when you became, because it was Mark Garvin retired,
mm-hmm.
and there was a big change in staff with TCIA and ISA right around the same time. The whole industry is like, oh my God, what's going on? So that was right around the same time, wasn't it?
More or less. Yeah. I mean, I don't remember again, before COVID, everything sort of seems like it all happened at once. Right. But, yeah. probably about the same time. Yeah.
So I have a question for you though.
Sure.
You've been part of a couple different industries. How has the tree industry been to you? How has it occurred to you? How has your paradigm of the industry changed? Maybe as an outsider, you know, just these guys are crazy drinking beer, chopping down trees, to maybe now you're looking at it through a different lens. What's that transition been like?
Well, I think first and foremost, you know, having worked with the utilities, I mean, I got a very good sense of what a professional tree operation looks like, right? You know, electric utilities are not going to outsource that to fly by night operations. And so I think early on, I understood the distinction between professional arborists and sort of everyone else, right? What I wasn't prepared for was the genuine concern and care that members of this industry have for each other. Mm-hmm. That really bowled me over. You know, obviously people who participate in a trade association or professional society, they see some value in it. Usually it's for themselves. I'll tell you a really quick story. My first winter management conference, there was a bunch of us got on a bus to go do one of the excursions, and gentleman gets on the bus. No one knows who I am at that point. Gentleman gets on the bus and says, here's a problem I'm dealing with in my business. Could I just pick everybody's brain? And we spent the 35, 40 minute bus ride, everybody kind of brainstorming and working through this issue with this person. And I had just never really seen, certainly to that level before, where everybody just rolled up their sleeves, okay, brother, how do we help you? You know? And that has been consistent throughout my 5 years here is, you know, so then you sort of think, okay, well, that was a fluke, right? No. Over and over and over again, you see where, you know, tree care company owners and people in this industry reach out and, yeah, sometimes they're even helping direct competitors, right? But, sure, there's this commitment and this understanding and this sense of real community that I personally have not really seen at the other associations that I've worked, certainly not to this level. And I think a lot of that comes from, I mean, that safety first mentality, like take care of the people around you. I think that is a factor in it for sure.
Yeah, we're all in this together. So yeah, sorry, Joe, go on.
No, you're good, buddy. I think you were going to say the same thing. It's anybody that's in the green industry cares about the environment and the world and everything green. Either you're doing landscape or you're cutting turf or taking care of trees. There's a real sense of a togetherness, camaraderie, and you see that. You know, another great thing. I'm not sure, Dave. I knew you were at ISA in Albuquerque. Mm-hmm. Were you there early enough to step in? It's the same thing watching a ITCC or a local comp. It's, you want to talk about how it magnifies that they're competing against each other in a ring, but hey, try this, do this. Hey, great job. Yeah. They're all cheering each other on. So
yeah, no, absolutely. In the industry. Yeah. I didn't make this year's, but I have been in the past, and you're right. I mean, it's every aspect of this industry. You tend to see people cheering each other on, helping each other out. You know, people want to see their peers in the industry succeed.
Well, and that's something that I really do like about your organization. So there's ISA, International Society of Arboriculture Culture, and then there's TCIA, Tree Care Industry Association. They do run in their own lanes. And we talked briefly with Peter G on that in a previous episode. But that's something that I think people need to really realize, is that there's been this transformation with the incorporation of TCIA, looking at things going, hey, you don't just have to be out there cutting trees, throwing it in a chipper, getting rid of it. You can actually have a sustainable and repeatable, scalable business by following some of the protocols and some of the guidelines that you have. So have you seen more of an adaptation and adoption to those in recent years as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you talk about market trends, right? And I think what you've got right now is a couple of different things all coming together to emphasize what you were just talking about, which is, you've got a generation of business owners who have put 20 or 30 years into their company, and they're thinking about what the next phase looks like. Mm. I think you've got an increased understanding of the need to hire high quality professional operations and not necessarily the lowest cost provider. And I think in many ways, COVID helped with that, because you had a lot of homeowners sitting at home looking at their trees with a lot of disposable income because they weren't going on vacation, things like that. And so I think more people became more educated about, this provider, this tree care company may be more expensive than that one, but there's a reason for that. And then, you know, that's also spurred interest from, whether it's mergers and acquisitions within the industry, whether it's venture capital coming in from outside the industry. And so I think you've got a lot of people really focused on the value of the business, and you really drive that through recurring revenue. I mean, that's MBA 101, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you're out chasing removals, that's great. And you can build a really good company on that. But when you're thinking about your transition, you know, somebody who's coming in and talking to you about a merger or an acquisition, they want to look at what's your recurring revenue. And and the easiest way, sort of, you know, small e easy way to build that is plant healthcare, right? I mean, how many times are you going back to that customer's property? If you go in, you do five removals and you're never going to see that customer again, that's not recurring revenue, you know? So I think all of those factors have combined, and to Joe's point, you know, there's just so much more awareness about the importance of trees to climate change and to the environment and the benefits of, you know, even if you're a climate change denier for whatever reason, I mean, you can't deny the benefits of shade and, you know, the urban forests. And I just think there's so much more awareness of, you know, I've got a tree in front of my house that's actually a city tree, and it's a linden tree. It's probably getting towards the end of its life. It's got an aphid infection. It drives me crazy. But the city was like, and everybody, you know, including myself, was, this is a great tree. It provides a ton of shade. Like, I know my air conditioning bill will go through the roof if we cut this tree down.
Oh, sure.
Right? And so, you know, I'm paying the, you know, I had to get the city to sign off on it, but I'm paying to have the tree treated, because to everybody, it's more valuable to have that tree stay for as long as we possibly can. Whereas I'm sure 5-10 years ago, it would have been like, yeah, we'll have a crew out tomorrow to take that sucker down. You know,
people are more educated. They know, yeah. You know, I think it would occur to me that the homeowner has way more access to professionals on a Google search that say, hey, for aphids or beetles or whatever your insect is, we do have a treatment option. If you, Johnny homeowner or Jane homeowner, value that specimen, we can keep it alive for you. We can keep it healthy, right, for you. That's right. That's pretty cool. It wasn't always that way, Joe. You've been in the industry for a long time. I mean, it wasn't always that way.
Know, it's not that municipal foresters don't care. It's a whole different paradigm.
Oh, yeah.
With financing and you know, a lot of municipalities are just barely keeping their head above water, let alone a luxurious treatment to a boulevard tree, which the last I heard was only given a 15-year life cycle anyways. So remove and replace for the longest time back in the day was a right. municipal program. But even municipalities are looking at now that a cost share program or something like you said, Dave, where, well, we don't have the funds for treat it, but if you want to treat it, just let us know what you're doing and we can do it. I think that is a phenomenal program that I think a lot more municipalities should use.
Yeah.
Does TCIA, do they have a municipal model for municipal arborist, or is not yet?
We don't. I mean, we're mostly focused on not mostly, we're exclusively focused on the commercial side. And so that is something that is another distinction between us and ISA, where, you know, ISA has, you know, member categories and things like that for all kinds of arborists. We are really focused on the commercial aspect.
And the business management, how do you
business man? Yeah, I really look at it as, and this is a dramatic oversimplification. So I will qualify the following statement by saying that, but I really view it as, if you want to be a great arborist, talk to our friends at ISA. If you want to own and operate a great tree care company, come talk to us. And those are not mutually exclusive, right? And so, you know, it takes qualified arborists and people who understand the business aspects to really run a successful tree care company. You need both.
Well, and I have to give you hats off. Obviously, we're doing a bit of a series on the TCI Expo that's coming up. And everything you're talking about here, you've got a star-studded lineup of guests, guest presenters, guest speakers, and vendors. Let's talk a little bit about Expo. Maybe okay. If that's okay, what can people expect? Keep in mind that this episode will air probably late October, early November of this year. So what can people expect from Expo this year compared to others?
Well, I mean, I already touched on, I think, the single biggest aspect, right? Which is the you know, we had planned to do our first ever, you know, live demos in Charlotte, and unfortunately had a tropical storm roll through, which hindered the ability to do that. I think being able to, like, I'm just envisioning all of the great things that are going to happen in this dome where the St. Louis Rams used to play, and just the ability to have this massive space under a roof to be able to try out equipment, to actually see this stuff perform. I mean, it's great to walk the show floor and see, you know, some of this equipment, but it's stationary, and you got to kind of think in your mind, how does this maneuver? How does this particular, you know, joystick, how does that feel, and sure. What's the responsiveness? And so to be able to do those sorts of things, I think are really, really going to be the hallmark of this year's show. We're also continuing to innovate other aspects of the show. We're going to continue to have a skills arena. I think we're partnering with Hans and New Jersey Crane Expert around that. We're going to, the Expo Climb that we introduced last year in Charlotte will be a staple again this year as well. So more opportunities for people to, again, try, like, you know, I wouldn't buy a harness without actually trying it first, right? So, you know, what being able to have people be able to test out every kind of equipment, not just the heavy equipment, but the climbing gear as well. There's also an auditorium, a large auditorium. So we're going to be able to do some like TED talk style events. So I think it's, and then of course, you know, welcome reception at Anheuser-Busch, right? So, you know, the team has been out a number of times before we decided to go to St. Louis. We sent two different teams to scout it and sort of didn't let them talk to each other, you know, so that we would get sort of unbiased. We did a lot of market research around, you know, the accessibility. I think we're going to see a lot more West Coast and Midwest folks that maybe weren't always willing to come all the way to a Charlotte or to a Baltimore, join us in St. Louis. I was just, as Joe mentioned, I was in Albuquerque. I mean, I was talking to people who are like, I'm going to drive from Denver, you know, because that's something in the West that, like, that's a totally feasible drive, you know? So yeah, we're all really excited. I think we're going to continue to build on our, I mean, we've broken attendance records, I think, every year that we've had, every expo for the last three expos. So, I mean, I certainly have that expectation again this year. So yeah, I mean, I think it really is. Oh, and I should also mention, you know, we're continuing to sign up exhibitors. We've got exhibitors coming from Europe, from Asia, from, I think South America now. I mean, we are getting so much interest from the exhibitors because they see this as that opportunity to meet with 5,000-6,000, you know, tree care professionals, and you can't walk away from that. So it's going to be, I don't know all the stats off the top of my head, but I know we've got more exhibitors and more exhibit space than we've ever had before. And then you add the demo space.
Well, and to our young listeners, something that I really appreciate about this show is that you do, I think it's like a student day or a career day.
Student career days.
So if you're a student, think about it. What Dave's saying here is you have the opportunity to interact and meet 5,000 people who are in this industry gung-ho that need you. So if you're looking to advance your career or even break into the career, bring a resume, bring a card. This is the place to do it. And I believe, Dave, you mentioned the welcome reception. I know there are other networking opportunities involved as well, but what a great idea. Get the next generation coming in.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We're really excited about student career days as well. Aaron Demers, who's heading up that project, has been doing a lot of outreach around apprenticeship and workforce development. So yeah, I mean, it's really, one of the things I want to say too, is it's not just for arborists. It's not just it's for students, it's for office personnel. It's for, I mean, you know, this is not just climbers, you know, or just people who are out actually in the trees. I mean, there's something at this show for everybody.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome. And like I said, another neat thing is, I think, you know, talk about some of the speakers, the presentations, the auditorium that you have there is actually gorgeous. And I was just thinking about there's two really cool dudes going to be doing a podcast live in the auditorium. Oh, nice.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Who's that?
could be the best nap of your life. I don't know.
Oh, I don't think so.
If our listeners haven't heard Corey and I get to do a live recording podcast on stage on, is it Friday evenings, 5 o'clock?
Nice. So
put that on your to-do list when you're there. We'd love to have you guys come check that out, because the opportunity that TCI Expo gives to not only vendors but presenters to put their word out there, and the opportunity for you to interact with them is actually pretty remarkable. So it's going to be good things.
Well, and that also speaks to what we were talking about earlier, right? Like, you're going to see somebody up on the stage giving a lecture, and then, you know, an hour later, you might be having a beer with them at the welcome reception, right? I mean, people are just so giving of their time. You know, I've seen so many of the speakers that, you know, a lot of times you see a professional speaker, they get up, they give their speech, and they're out the back door and on a plane, right? Our folks stick around. They're there to answer your questions. You're going to run into them throughout the week. And again, that just speaks to that collegial nature of the industry.
Yeah. And looking at your speaker lineup too. So there are a lot that I think world-class. I mean, whoever put together the list, it is truly humbling that Joe and I could be part of it, but out of the speakers that I've seen on that list, they're happy, or we're happy to help educate and offer your questions, but we're also open to suggestion. Hey, I'd like to hear this topic, or Mark Chisholm, or whoever's doing the demo. They're going to be in an approachable manner where they know that ultimately people asking questions and giving feedback, you're the boots on the ground. You are what the homeowner sees. You are the industry. And how can we raise this bar and do better together? And I just have to congratulate you and commend you for the hard work that goes into putting such an event together. So,
well, as much as I would like to take the credit, it's really folks like Peter Gerstenberger and Bob Rouse and Brian Dalton and Amy Tatro and Mike Rennie and right on down the line. I mean, we are very lucky to have some very talented and very committed members on our team that really go out and make all this happen.
Perfect. And if we have some listeners maybe tuning in today, and like we said, it's gonna probably air late October, early November.
Sure.
What kind of advice can you get? I'll put a link in to where people can register for the event if they haven't already. But what kind of advice would you have if they're either contemplating coming or just, you know, kicking it around in their head?
First one is wear comfortable shoes. You're gonna do a lot of walking. I forget exactly what square footage we're up to now. But you're gonna do a lot of walking. And I think, you know, what I would do, what I always recommend folks do with a conference is, you know, come with an open mind and the expectation that you're gonna walk away with one thing, right? You're gonna walk away with more, but if you start with, my goal is to walk away with one thing I'm going to bring back to my company after I go. And you, if you approach that, if you approach the courses, if you approach walking the show floor with that mentality of I'm actually seeking information or equipment or ideas or philosophies that I can bring back to my company. And as long, and if you can walk out with one, you know, that's a win. You're going to walk out with way more than that. But I think if you take that mental approach to it, you're going to find it to be a very rewarding experience. And by the way, that could also just be you find a mentor, like you find somebody that you connect with. And now that, I mean, there are lifelong friendships that have been formed at events like TCI Expo. And hey, you know, I met this person. And when I have it, when I run into a situation, I'm not sure what to do, that's a phone call I'm making. So, you know, if you get one contact, one idea, you know, that's worth its weight in gold.
Heck yeah.
Very well said. Very well said. Well, keep up the great work. Again, I will second that. You got an amazing staff.
Thank you.
And I do think that your experience in other associations has helped TCIA.
Well, thank you.
We old school guys always thought need to be a tree guy in the lead, but business is business, regardless of what side of the coin you're on, and having someone with your experience kind of putting this all together is greatly appreciated. So thank you very much.
Well, I should mention, I'm also very lucky to work with a board of tree people, you know, and
yes,
so, you know, August Hoppe, Noel Boyer, Jim Houston, Art Batson, Jen McPhee, Austin Bonema, you know, Josh Morin, Tad Jacobs, Amy Burkett, you know, we are very, very lucky to have people with a range of experience. Yes, so you've got big companies, small companies, you've got arborists, you've got, you know, people who come right from the business side of it. It is a very, very good mix of people who really provide the direction for where we're going as TCIA. And then it's me and the staff that go out and implement that vision. But just very grateful for them as well.
Awesome. Yeah, perfect. David.
So you don't even need to be a tree guy, but you bet you're a tree guy now though.
I'm coming around. You know, I mean, obviously you don't take a job like this if you're not at least interested in trees. Right. And as I said, you know, having worked with the municipal electric and having seen, so my father, some people have heard this story. My father was a lineman for the power company. Him and his crewmate decided to start a tree care company. So I've seen what happens when you do it wrong is all I'm going to say.
So come to Expo and find out how to do it right.
That's right. I'm like, Dad, you know, if you had found TCIA, maybe I'd be inheriting like this great tree care company today instead of watching you and your buddy muck it up. But we'll leave Thanksgiving conversations to Thanksgiving.
That sounds good. Well, thank you again, Dave White, Joe Aiken. Always a pleasure. This episode will hit. We look forward to seeing you and all of our friends, guests of the show at the expo coming up here in just a couple weeks.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you guys both very much.
Hey, great topic today.
Yes, and lots of good information.
Yeah, probably one of our best yet.
If you enjoyed the podcast or have topics you would like to discuss, please send them to discoveringforestry@gmail.com. And please hit the subscribe button and tell a friend.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Joe.
And I'm Corey.
Signing out.